Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host. I'm from Mage. My guest host again today, clearly my host in totally for the whole month, Rich Hershen, partner at the financial services firm of Gray, Gray, and Gray. Welcome, Rich.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Good to be here.
Good. You should welcome me. That's great. You've done a great job. And the offices, I say all the time, I love the offices here. It's been great. So our next guest comes with book only for me. Didn't bring one for Rich, so it's all right.
I'll borrow it when you're
Rich
done.
Already feels insecure, so I like that. Is Julia Peters, LEQ LLC. I don't know if it's LEQ or if I pronounce it. And your book is Pivot Points, and it's about, I guess it's about leadership, correct?
It's about leadership and decision making.
Right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself to start?
I have a career in business and operating roles and in management roles. And as I progress through those positions, I realize that the further up you get in management, the more your role is about developing people, bringing people along.
Oh, I love hearing that.
So true.
Yeah.
So
I love
true.
Hearing that.
Yeah. And so, and then I also found with that, that really was where I enjoyed my work the most. And from that point, I progressively went down the path of working more and more exclusively with people until I actually became an executive coach, all focused on working with people.
You know, in your book or in your research, you said you found four types of leaders. Am I right?
Four types of decision makers.
Decision makers. I'm sorry. There goes my disability.
One of which is leaders.
Right. Leaders, managers, clock punchers, and wanderers. Can you tell us just a little bit about each one of them?
Sure. I did, for my book, in-depth interviews with industry-changing leaders. And they were great, very candid about their journeys of leadership to success. And when I finished interviewing all of them, I looked at all their journeys and said, what's in common? And lo and behold, found that, first of all, they made defining decisions along the way. And not just a particular kind of decision. And I saw that those decision points were at pivot points. Provocative situations. Everyone has them along the way. Very provocative situations which demand decisions to be made. And that these leaders made decisions a certain way at certain pivotal times. And their decisions were defined by, I came to see that leadership is defined by these two main characteristics. That leadership is not about personality traits. It's not about leadership style. It's not about charisma. It is about the decisions we make, defined by accountability, mainly holding ourselves accountable. In the process, we learn that we can't do it alone. We have to hold others accountable, but ultimately, it's to hold ourselves accountable. Accountable for making something important happen that is different from the status quo. So that leadership is about changing the status quo, improving something. And so when you look at, you know, then you have a matrix. See my matrix?
Well, you can't if they watch the video.
Yeah. Right. Accountability.
That's usually what people say to me when they want me to stop whatever I'm doing.
Cut it out, Jeff. So accountability, let's say it's a vertical matrix, and I call something bold being ingenuity. So the right side of the of ingenuity is ingenuity, and the opposite of ingenuity being the status quo. Okay, so then you have four quadrants. High accountability, strong ingenuity would be the leaders. They make decisions at these pivotal times defined by bold ideas to improve the status quo and holding themselves accountable to see it through. Then moving along these quadrants, you have high accountability, status quo. I call them managers. Okay, managers deal with the status quo. Important job. Every organization, every business needs strong management. That's part of the job. The important thing is to recognize that the work of leading is different from the work of managing.
Very much.
And then moving along the quadrants, when you have status quo, low accountability, I call them the clock punchers. Okay, these people.
I call them Rich's associates.
That's not fair. You've got to take that back. That's not who we are.
They do a job, but.
Ow!
But they're the ones Rich who resist
just,
change.
Rich just reached wife category. He punched me as I'm talking to somebody.
I can see that you work very well together. And you know how to handle Jeff.
I know how to handle him, but we've got great people working here.
The best. That was so, just for the use of humor.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That one hurt.
That was just
humor. Law firms don't get you. You don't
this
have
isn't
room
a law
for
firm,
clock punchers.
No. This isn't a law firm.
Financial firms don't have room for clock punchers. All right. So, and to finish that, low accountability, but have strong ideas. I call them wanderers, and most of us are in the wanderer quadrant at some point in our careers, and maybe several times when you have all these ideas, but you don't really follow through on them. And the important thing is to recognize at some point, hey, if I'm going to do something bold, I need to act on one of these great ideas I keep having. And actually, that's what I consider my book to be. I always thought I'd write a book. And then I finally asked myself, am I really going to write that book?
So you're asking yourself, are you really a leader, right? You had the ideas,
you wanted to
do, are you going to be accountable and put the pen to the paper and write a book?
So I made myself accountable.
And you've worked for some state-of-the-art firms. Great firms. Actually, even a firm I interviewed with once a long time ago, Leo Burnett. I worked for Doyle Danes.
Oh, my goodness.
We used to compete with Leo Burnett.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, your book is, it's quite impressive. And, I know myself, it's quite a commitment to write a book. You didn't just write a book. You wrote a real book. It's a hardcover book, and it's published by a major publisher. How much time did you have to throw yourself into to make this happen?
Too long.
Yeah, too
long. I don't know what was your experience writing your book, but I
had a co-author, which...
Oh, that was a smart way to do it.
Which did most of the work.
Yeah. A lot of people said,
it's
why
one,
don't
one
you
and
get a
shots
co-author?
Now.
Yeah. I actually tried to get a co-author. It didn't work. They didn't really understand what I was trying
to
accomplish.
I had the world's greatest co-author, but he was a true kumbaya guy. He felt that if you loved your employees always, that everything would turn out all right. So I had to be the hard ass, you know, editing the book and rewriting certain chapters for the realities of leadership.
Yes, and that's right. It is about the end, and that's what I tried to achieve with my book, too, to be... really focus on the realities of leadership, the real journeys, and that's what's included in my book. There's the framework about leadership and pivot points and those five pivotal decisions that everyone needs to confront over the long haul of a career, but also that I have five chapters, one chapter devoted to a real leader's journey, unvarnished story about their journey, all the harsh realities as well as all the wonderful.
They are harsh.
They are harsh.
You don't do unusual things unless you put yourself through a certain type of process that most people wouldn't even want to go through.
Right, and I hope I'm told by readers that that's what's helpful about the book, that my book titled Pivot Points, that many of these pivot points, of course, are harsh realities, environmentally driven, like the stock market collapsing on you. One story is about Glenn Tolman, CEO of Allscripts Healthcare Solutions.
Right.
His stock went from $86 a share, and 18 months later was $1.60.
Okay. That takes a talent.
That takes that, and you know that was.
I could have done that.
An environmental situation. It was the burst of the internet bubble.
Right.
And then shortly thereafter, the 9/11 crisis that also wiped out the stock market. So it was a double whammy for him. And so many pivot points are ex-environmental. And there are also stories in my book about internally driven pivot points, either out of personal restlessness or an internal obstacle that you have to break through. And so it's...
What was your pivot point that made you decide to write the book?
And it is one of my pivot points, which I call recommitment. That after 20 plus years doing something and pursuing a career, and by the way, my target audience are high achievers. Anyone who's not a high achiever probably wouldn't.
You can't choke on us yet. Finish the interview. But okay. I liked Rich's question. Because I think that's really, and you started to answer it.
Yeah, so your pivot point. What I call a recommitment decision, where you take a look at what you've achieved and you say, is there more for me to do here or not?
And you know what? I think Rich really put up an important point which supports your thesis, and that is,
thank you.
I think all leaders I've ever worked with who've done great things have had their pivot points. And they can happen, and for a lot of people, they happen as they mature and they go through life and they develop certain perspectives on the world and they develop certain comfort about themselves.
One of the great experiences I've had with my book, when I do book talks and consulting, is that when you talk about the pivot points and the trajectory and the decision making, everyone suddenly realizes that, yes, that's a pivot point. I either just had to make this decision or I'm facing one right now. And in fact, at one of my talks afterwards, a architect came up to me and he was so excited. He said, thank you for giving me the language, the words to put to the experience I just had in the past year. You know, and having the language to really reflect on what it is you've done and learn from it is important.
I'm sorry, you wanted to say something. Before we end, I like that you sort of use the term pivot points, because in my coaching of leaders, I've talked about, leadership moments that you don't always pick them. Sometimes the moment picks you.
Yep.
And you have to recognize them and let those moments help you to sort of move into leadership.
That's right. Because
there's things that happen in the environment that necessitate a leadership moment.
Right.
And those can be pivot points, and you have to acknowledge them and move into them and take advantage of them. And I like the way you've sort of defined it clearly, because I do believe what you're saying, and I do believe this happens for all leaders. If somebody's interested in getting to know you a little bit better, finding your book, getting the book, besides you giving it away like you did with me, how would they find you?
My book, Pivot Points, 5 Decisions Every Successful Leader Must Make by Julia Tong Peters. You can find it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, some Barnes & Noble stores. It's easy to get. It also is an ebook and audiobook. And you can contact me at Julia.Peters, Peters, at myleq.com. And LEQ is short for Leadership Effectiveness Quotient, which is a mouthful.
So I have to tell you my favorite book story with my book.
Yeah,
because,
please.
You know, you never know if it's done as well as you want it to do, and you want it to do better, and you put a lot into it to write a book. I was playing tennis in Florida 2 months ago. This had never happened to me before. And somebody said, I put together a doubles game where you come to my condo community and play. I play tennis.
Uh-huh.
So I drive past where Rich goes in Florida to the poor section of Boca Raton. I have to pick on Rich on the way to the story. And
poor Rich.
This interview, isn't there?
And I go in, and he introduces me to a gentleman from Chicago. And he says to me, and he introduces me as Jeffrey Davis. He goes, did you write a book? And I went, yeah. He goes, the 24-hour turnaround? And I went, yeah. He goes, funny, I was vacationing on the beach of New Jersey last year, and I found a copy of it on the beach.
Oh, my goodness.
In trash?
See, I did 2 for 2. And he said, and I picked it up, and I read it. He goes, I really liked that book. And I said, I said, that has to be the best comment ever about my book, even just finding it in New Jersey on the beach. So I appreciate what you put into the book and the effort, and I love what you're talking about. It's a great topic. Thanks for being on the show. We hope you come back again when you come back to Boston.
And thank you for having me on the show, Jeff.
Thank our friends at Gray, Gray & Gray. We're going to take a break. My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs.